And a good afternoon to you. Thank you so much for being with us. Glad to have you on a, what is it, Thursday afternoon. We appreciate the mercy of the Lord and glad to have you with us. We appreciate the beautiful weather and the Lord's helping us and blessing us. And we are grateful and we are thankful. To God be the glory. 577 is our text line and 828-884-9427. That is our voice line, and we'd love to hear from you this afternoon. And be glad to take questions today. Not sure I can answer them all, but we'll throw them out there and see if somebody else can, if I don't know the answer. How about that? Okay, good deal. And so text us or call us. We'd love to hear from you here today on this edition of Prayer Time during Drive Time here on AM 720, 94.9, and WGCR.net. All right. Well, today is Thursday, but it's going to be Friday for me in that I'll be gone tomorrow on the annual our annual trip, end of school year trip. And it's for homeschool, Christian school, public school, charter school, all of our kids. And so we're church trip heading over to Tennessee for the day. And so I'll have Brother Brian Coates will be in on the program tomorrow. And so today's my last day for the week, but we are glad to be with you and grateful to the Lord for everything that He is doing, and certainly appreciate His blessing today. Let's see what's going on traffic-wise. Well, I hate to start in the gorge, but I'm going there tomorrow, and I just really hate, oh my goodness, what is going on? We have got road closures, and what is all of that about in the gorge? What's going on? Somebody talk to me. Somebody tell me, okay? Somebody tell me. Did I only give part of the text number, okay? 577-1296. Sorry about that. I'm showing eastbound I-40 in the gorge is closed. What's that about? I have no idea. But what I was going to call attention to is the westbound I-40 is backed up all the way into the straightaway that you can see. They're at the 74-40 split going west. That's how far the road's backed up. Remember yesterday me asking, had they fixed it? Was it back to four lanes? Remember me saying that yesterday? Well, I can tell you from today, it's not. The problem is, that's where we're heading in the morning. I ran the numbers sometime during the day today, and I noticed that the trip from here to Dollywood is 45 minutes longer than normal. And I looked at that and said, what's that about? 45 minutes, that don't make sense. And then I realized just then, it's this backslid backup right here. Man, oh man, oh man. I mean, if it wouldn't make the kids sick, I'd just about go over the mountain. Just about go 441 and take the bus that way. Goodness gracious alive. Just look at it in the morning. I guess I can go through Marshall and go that way and come out at Newport. It's not that much further. It's just, you know, it's not as good road, but it's just not that much further. But anyway, all right, let's talk about your commute home. So we get off the pace at the airport westbound I-26, and it's going to be off the pace all the way to the parkway. And so that's on the westbound side. On the eastbound, the slowdown is there at 191, and then it'll go to moderate and stay that way till you get across the river. It'll go back into the slow category down around, this is the eastbound I-26. It gets slowed down around 146 and will stay that way about halfway through the strait, and then it'll break back open to the airport. There is a wreck on Hendersonville Road 25, and I can tell you it's got to be southbound because the traffic is backed up from, let me give you a landmark, you know where Harbor Freight's at? You know where that's at? Well, right in there around AutoZone, Harbor Freight, well, anyway, I guess trying to, I don't even know what the name of that road is. Pinchot Drive, is that right? Anyway, the, no, Springside Road. So from Springside Road, it is backed up all the way back through by Harbor Freight, and it goes all the way, good gracious, it's still going, all the way back. It's in the Biltmore Forest, Buena Vista. It's all the way back to Busby Road, almost to the motorcycle place, MR Motorcycle. That's how far back it is due to a wreck. But the problem is it's on the other side too. And so, yeah, it's really bad right through there by Harbor Freight going northbound 25, and it'll stay like that till you get to Mills Gap. And, yep, right through that section's bad this afternoon due to a wreck. So a lot of people are switching over from 25, trying to get on 25A to get around it, and 25A is backed up all the way to Chaparral Drive, Busby Circle, Busby VW Circle. Yeah, that's in that section right there. That's how far back it is backed up this afternoon, 25A southbound, because probably of the wreck on 25 southbound. All right. Also putting some pressure on the secondaries this afternoon, like 191, particularly busy, right around the parkway there on 191, the overpass right in there, and it's slow through. It's moderately slow through the bottom there, Sandy Bottom. But then we got some major slowdown from the light at Avers Creek. It is backed up almost back to the curve at Clayton Road. So, yeah, it's way back. It is past that development there. Yeah, it's almost back to Clayton Road. That's how far back it is. So it is way backed up this afternoon, and that's all coming south on 191. All right, so be patient. That light is a problem, all right? If you're trying to get into Asheville, well, we got red ink everywhere. It is backed up all the way back to Amboy Road, trying to get up on the bridge. But once you get on the bridge, it does okay. And there northward looks fair. It's moderate conditions. Coming down, though, from UNCA, slow. And that's true on the bridge all the way to the Sam's Red Light. That is slow. A little slower in the downtown than we're used to seeing on a Thursday. Looks more like a weekend. It's backed up all the way through the Bowcatcher Cut there to Chun's Cove this afternoon. So that's all slow through that section. Also slow on 25 north of Asheville up toward Beaver Lake and that section. Yeah, the North Asheville section is slow right up through there as well this afternoon. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know why a Thursday's got so much traffic, but it's pretty intense. A lot to talk about here. Everything else that I have that I can see looks okay. Just heavy traffic on a Thursday. When you drop to South Carolina, we are we're as bad as normal and plus. So we are right around 101. It's slow on both lanes. Don't know why. On I-85 north and south. Today we slow down quick. If coming southbound at the BMW exit, it gets in the slow category, very slow, and will stay very slow down past 14, and then it drops into the from very slow to slow. Till you get up to Pelham, there is a wreck, and that's what the issue looks like, a wreck there, and that's what's backing everything up. We are starting on the northbound, starts at 385, and it goes up just about a mile, and then it'll go from extremely slow to slow, and it'll moderate time you get up to Pelham. Don't know why, yeah, I do. There's a wreck. I-85 southbound, when you're getting on 385, heading south on 85, backed up to the interchange, and it's down there just before you get to 276, southbound I-85 in the slow category. Another wreck down at 291. Both sides are in the slow category in Greenville this afternoon for about a mile to a mile and a half either way, right there around 291. So, yeah, And I was trying to look and see what else, if there are any other wrecks. There is one over on, where's that at? It's anyway, it's, I don't even know where that's at, to be honest with you. It's in there, Slickham Road, Antioch Road. It's on Slickham Road as you're coming into State Road 3936. Yeah, there's a wreck right there. And then I'm looking to see what else. I think everybody else is moving, I believe. There's one down on the Griffin Mountain Road. There's something down there. And then everything else looks to be busy. Again, for a Thursday, it's just busier than usual. And I can't tell you why. All right, let's quickly change gears and go over to the radar. And we've got a clear radar this afternoon. 68 degrees is our current temperature at the, it was our 5 o'clock reading at Asheville. And then 71 is our 5 o'clock reading at Greenville-Spartanburg. The pressure has come up to 3.0. The humidity still pretty low, 29% in Greenville, which is pretty low for us. And then 22% in Asheville, which is very low for May. So meaning static electricity and that sort of thing. Good time to dry something out. It's a good time for that. But what happens also is that it sucks all the moisture out of the ground. And so all the rain that we had taken us out of the fire danger season, when you get humidity like this, then, you know, you can still have danger of forest fires. Even though the green up has occurred, we're not in as much danger as we was, but it's still safe to say that use extreme caution when burning. Also, we are, thankfully, the wind has slowed down a little bit. We still got a little wind, but not like the past few days. Man, it's been like out west. It's been bad. 63.8 degrees right now. We got a north-northwest wind at 14, but it's been kind of steady. But yesterday, you know, we had those gusts, 28 to 30. And so it really complicated things yesterday. So, and for several days since the weekend, actually, it's been pretty blustery. Weatherman says tonight, not as cold, 43. Tomorrow, 68. And then starts the rain. And it's not going to be a total rain out, but we have a very good chance of rain. And so the fire danger should be alleviated. So let me just see if I can share with you what we're talking about. So tonight, 43. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 68. Tomorrow night, chance of showers. And then in the later in the evening, the better the chance gets. About a 60% chance, between a tenth and a quarter. Saturday, showers likely. Thunderstorms after 10. 63, 70%, between a tenth and a quarter. On Saturday night, showers. Cloudy, 53. A chance of precipitation, 40%. Sunday, slight chance of showers. Showers likely in the evening, 77, 60%. Sunday night, we're looking at a chance of showers, 57, 60% chance. Monday, chance of showers. Yeah, broken record, isn't it? 82 degrees, though, 60% chance. Monday night, showers and thunderstorms, 60%, low of 57. Tuesday, showers, 60% chance, 82 for the high. Tuesday night, 40% chance, 56. Wednesday, 30%, it's 81. Wednesday night, 30%, 54. Sunshine, a week from today, mostly sunny. So we have 7 days of, or 6 days of rain, or a chance of rain. And not till next Thursday do we get mostly sunny. But the temperature is moderating, so this little, I started to say it's blackberry winter, but it's too early for the blackberries in it. Yeah, so it's not blackberry winter, but it has been a little cold snap. And I, for one, am glad that it is over. Yeah, sure am. Fourth day of May, and the general operating budget of Anchor Broadcasting is being sponsored by Chuck and Carol Henson. And it is an honor of Pastor Josh Boyd and his wife, Shelby, at Mountain View Baptist Church in Tuxedo. And we'd like to say how much we appreciate the Hensons and also say how much we appreciate the folks at Mountain View. God bless you and tuxedo. The network today, sponsored by Rich and Melinda Worley, in honor of Scout Riddle on his 5th birthday coming up tomorrow. They pray that he comes to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus at an early age. We appreciate Brother Rich and Miss Melinda, friends for a long time. We appreciate them a great deal. Thank them for standing with us here again today at Anchor Broadcasting. Our own Mr. Michael Blanton having a birthday today. Special congratulations to Brother Blanton. 65. Yep, 65 today. So congratulations going out to him. All right, well, change gears here for a moment. And let me go over here and alphabetize my cities right quick. And we'll do it from the back end today, all right? So we'll start with Williamson, South Carolina, Weaverville, North Carolina, Walled Lake, and it's either Walled Lake or Walled Lake, W-A-L-L-E-D. Looks like Walled Lake, Michigan. Never heard it pronounced by anyone. I know that United Kingdom are in there in the unknown column. I know that Europe's in there in the unknown column. Silva, San Jose, California, St. Louis, Plymouth, Minnesota, Oxford, Massachusetts, Ottawa, Ontario, Mount Laurel, New Jersey, in several places, a couple of Morrisville, North Carolinas. We've got Manchester, Michigan, Louisville, Ohio, Lancaster, South Carolina, Houston, Texas, in four places, Hendersonville, North Carolina, Greenville, South Carolina, Frederick, Maryland, El Monte, California, several of them, the City of Industry in California. I don't know where that's at. That's an interesting name, isn't it? The City of Industry. Burlington, New Jersey, Birmingham, Alabama, Avon, Colorado, Atlanta, Georgia, Arden, North Carolina, and Ann Arbor, Michigan, and finally Anchorage, Alaska. And we salute all these folks here with us today. Glad to have you. Appreciate you being with us. All right. Let me mention that, just quickly remind folks about the special dedication service this coming Saturday at the new building at Whitewater Baptist Church, Whitewater Road off of Highway 281 South, out of the Sapphire community. And the service starts at 11 o'clock. We're going to be there in that service, looking forward to that. And then they begin revival the following day. And Sunday, they will have, they will have Sunday night will be Brother Tony Lambert. This coming Sunday night. And then Monday through Wednesday be Brother Scott Dean at 7 o'clock. Brother Lambert's at 6 on Sunday, and Scott Dean there at 7 Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So a good meeting. We certainly appreciate the Lord's blessing and appreciate God's goodness there. Pastor Bradley Chapel inviting everybody to come help them celebrate getting in their new building. We say again, to God be the glory. And somebody said it is Walled, Michigan. Walled Lake, Michigan. All right, good, good. 191 is moving, I'm hearing, and so glad to know that. Somebody says coming out of Newport, Tennessee on 25 is a beautiful route, and said if I felt it's safer away from the tractors and trailers. Well, that's something to be said for that, for sure. 4412 says, God bless Israel, Pastor Barton, and Anchor Broadcasting. Thank you. This afternoon, we're somebody asking about Biden's proceeding to impeach. I speak about that. Well, I don't have a lot of information on it, but I guess I'd say it this way. When the Democrats try to impeach the Republican president, not once but twice, unsuccessfully, what did you just do? You just put the nuclear option on the table. And, I mean, Bill Clinton, you know, he wasn't convicted. To impeach a president, you have to, the proceeding, you have to have the majority vote in the House. And they serve as the grand jury to bring an indictment. And the House does, the People's House, 435 Congress people. Then it is remanded to court, and the Senate, the 50 senators, they are the jurors. Okay? The jurors. And in the event of a tie, then it would be the vice president of the United States has the tie-breaking vote. And according to the Constitution, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court is the trial judge that listens to the proceeding, that will try the matter. And, of course, there has not been an impeachment, an actual removal of office in a very long time. But there have been now, you know, and as Nancy Pelosi said, well, he's been impeached. Nevertheless, he's been impeached. He wasn't found guilty, but he was impeached. That was her repeated phrase. He's been impeached. He's been impeached. Well, again, they did not remove him from office either time. And so, therefore, President Trump is qualified to run for office again because he has not been impeached. But anyway, that's how it works. And right now, with the makeup of the Senate, very little chance, because even though it's close in the Senate, you have got at least two rhinos. Well, technically three: Alaska, Maine, and Utah. And so, yeah. They're rhinos. They're Republican in name only, so they're going to vote Democratic. So the chances of actually removing someone from office are slim to none. Yeah, to remove a Democrat would be almost impossible. That's just not going to happen. All right. Good to see Harold from San Antonio, Akbar from Pakistan, and Cricket from East Fork. Glad to have all of you, and appreciate that very much. Thank you. And there's all kind of, somebody's commenting about some things that are going on. I've been very disappointed in the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. And, you know, especially he's a Trump appointee, but I've still have been very disappointed in him because he has voted as much with the liberals as he has the conservatives. So we're not sure where his head's at, just to be fair with you. Just not sure. And one of our first things he did was vote to uphold Obamacare and said that it was indeed a tax, and therefore the amendment of the Constitution gave the Congress the right to tax people, and that Obamacare was a tax, a health care tax, and that they absolutely had the right to do that. Yeah. So somebody's telling me that blackberry winter is early to mid-May when the blackberries are in full bloom. So are they? I'm not sure that they are. I'm not sure the blackberries are blooming yet or not. But yeah, usually blackberry winter is that little last little grip of cold weather after we've had some milder weather in March and April. Do you remember the year? I don't remember the year. Do you remember the year that it snowed on Mother's Day on the parkway and it snowed 5 feet at the Pisgah Inn? You might remember that. I went up there. It was the oddest looking thing you've ever seen. It was just the top of the mountain, but it was 5 feet deep. It was so deep that the stop signs were sticking at the top of the snow. You don't see it around here that much like that. But it was one of the deepest snowfalls, now not drifts, but it was the deepest snowfall I'd ever seen in my life in the state of North Carolina. Never seen one that deep. And I'm not talking about piled up on the sides. I'm talking about it was 5 feet deep, and where they scraped it, it was way higher than that. But looking out over the level ground, it was 5 feet deep up on Pisgah. And, yeah, it was crazy. It just... I was thinking about that. Somebody said we come through laurel winter, and when the laurels bloom, the ivy, laurel and ivy, yeah. And so that leads a little bit. That's a little earlier, and so I don't know. I don't know what kind of winter, I don't know what it is, but anyway, we've had. we've had some cold weather. I'm glad that we are. I'm glad that it's going to moderate a little bit for my turkey's sake. Anyway, just heard that there is a truck on fire in the eastbound lane of 26 at Long Shoals Road. Okay, so let me go back to our maps. Let me zoom in on that. See if I can tell you what's going on there. So it is eastbound lane of I-26 at Long Shoals. So, Yeah, I'm not seeing that. I'm not seeing a slowdown at all. I am seeing a bad slowdown. Now, it wasn't there earlier, and it's around the river, and it's bad slow eastbound I-26. That wasn't there. So that's worse, much worse. It's very slow right there at the river. But there at Long Shoals, I don't see any slowdown on the eastbound side. It may be so new that they've not started slowing down yet. That could be. Not sure about that. All right. Glad to see Mars Hill, 9007. Thank you for being there. And thank the Lord for all the folks that are weighing in here this afternoon. Yeah, there is a wreck now on 1923. It shows that it is on the northbound side. It's in the Inca community. It is to the east of Inca Village. It's to the east there, near the Sonic Drive-In, is what I'm showing. Doesn't seem to be affecting traffic too much, but that has just happened. It was not there just a few minutes ago. Okay, when we did our initial run of things, it was not there. Okay, so yeah, just saying. All right, well, let me, anybody got any ideas what's going on in the gorge? What's that about? I-40 eastbound is closed. What is that? Anybody know what's going on there? I don't know. All right, I don't know what's going on. I do. Somebody's asking the question. Said, "Do you remember seeing the snow bears instead of snowmen? They made snow bears." And actually, I don't know that I remember. It sounds familiar, but I don't know that I remember that. I have forgotten a lot of detail over the years. I just have. And if it's something that you know, I'm reminded of, sometimes it'll pop back in, pick it up. But I have people that'll tell me about events and tell me about things, and I sit there and listen to it as if I wasn't there, and then they go, "Well, you should know, you were there." And I go, "What? Yeah, you don't remember?" Well, actually, no, I have no idea what you're talking about. And I've had people show me pictures of me being at a place. I don't remember. So, you know. Anyway, I guess that's called, Ivy Winter, somebody else said, Ivy Winter. And, the ivy bushes are blooming. I'm usually the ivy bloom right around my birthday. And so we always kind of mark that. I think ivy is I like ivy plant. I think they're pretty. And then I also like the bloom on the ivy. And there depends on who you talk to as to how what you call, you know, there's mountain laurel, and then there's mountain laurel, and then there's the ivy, what we call laurel and ivy, and then other people call it different things based on, you know, some call it rhododendron, mountain rhododendron instead of laurel, and then they call the ivy, they call it laurel. So I don't know. But I never heard of anybody breaking laurel. But everybody used to break ivy for a living. If you didn't have a job, you could break ivy. And you bundle it up and sell it. You could sell it at Toxaway. You could sell it at Ross Road. And they would truck it, usually, I think, to New York City. And they used it in flower arrangements. And oh yeah, breaking ivy was an industry here in the mountains. But you don't hear that anymore. And then there was a time that people would harvest galax. Remember that? They'd even pull moss. Anybody remember pulling moss? Go in the forest, pull moss, pull galax, dig ginseng. That was all poor man's work. You know, when you didn't have anything else to do, that's what you do. You go to the woods and you'd make a living. And of course, now there is, now of course they get you for doing some of that stuff without permits. You know, it's regulated anymore. And so, yeah, it's, yeah, anymore it is. Okay, so let me see if we can find this vehicle fire. Mile marker 9.5 eastbound I-40. Okay, vehicle fire, mile marker 9.5. So 9.5 I-40 eastbound. Okay, I'm on the wrong road, ain't I? I was looking on. Oh, okay, that's different. Okay, something different. Thank you. Okay, so that's what's got it shut down. We have a vehicle fire at the 9.5 mile marker on I-40, and it's got the interstate closed. And I can tell you about where it's at. I can tell you exactly where it's at. It's at 9.5. Where is 9.5 at? 9.5 is where Waterville Road pulls off. If you know where that's at, it's just up past there, right in there around the tunnels. And so they've got it, the whole thing shut down. And yeah, interesting. So coming back out of, and the interesting part of it is, the part that I don't understand is why, if it's completely shut down, why is it not backing up like it should be? It should be backing up big time in the Tennessee. And while it is backed up, it's nothing like a shutdown would cause. So I have no idea. I don't know what I'm at a loss. I don't know what's going on with that. I sure don't. I don't know what that's about. So anyway, all right. Let me go back here. Yeah, and okay. And so there is vehicle fire 9.5 I-40 eastbound causing delays. Okay, and so, all right, thank you for that. Somebody says, yeah, pull moss and broke ivy with my granny and Papa Fisher when I was a little boy. Sure. And that was just the mountain people. That's just pretty well, that's what people did. And pick up Coke bottles. You might remember picking up Coke bottles. Well, when you was a kid, you picked up Coke bottles because they were reusable. And so you would take them to the store and you could sell them to the store. And, oh, yeah, and you could sell, and of course, you took your bottles. You didn't have to pay a deposit if you took your bottles back. Even our milk bottles were recyclable. They were glass, and so you'd take your milk bottle back and turn it in, and they'd sterilize it and give you a fresh one. And you'd change your milk bottles back and forth. Yeah. You might remember that? Oh, yeah, I do. Very much do. Matter of fact, I remember even when they had little paper lids on them. On the milk bottles, they just had a little cardboard like lid on the thing. It wasn't very secure, and we'd buy milk in those glass jugs. And that's been a day or two, but that's how it used to be for sure. All right, well, let me change gears here. Have you heard much about the Russians are claiming the drone attack on the Kremlin? Have you followed that at all? Well, it didn't actually hit the Kremlin, but it did explode over above the Kremlin. And they're claiming that it was the United States. I don't know. I'm not sure what the story is on that, but I will say this. I am very, very, very scared of the way our foreign policy is being held. I'm just, you know, I guess I'm just saying it this way. I'm very concerned that we are flirting with disaster. And I realize that there is a bit of drama and a bit of push and take and a bit of, I don't know, posturing, for lack of a better term, you know, a bit of posturing that goes on in international affairs. I think I know that. And I'm, you know, understand that. But at the same time, I am very concerned that we are escalating, that we are ramping up the controversy around the Ukraine. We're ramping up our tensions with Russia. And again, I don't know how you can get it this wrong. I don't know how that we can, you know, I don't know. I don't know how that we can to do what we're doing and why that we are not, you know, why we're not more careful. We seems to be we're trying to escalate, okay? So, so this just happened, okay? So in The Hague, in the Netherlands, the Ukraine, each one have made their statements today. The Ukrainian president, Zelensky, said that Vladimir Putin would be convicted of war crimes. And then in response, the Kremlin has alleged that the United States was behind what they're calling an assassination attempt on Putin because of the drones. There was a drone that blew up near the Kremlin. There's a picture of it blowing up. You can see it in the air. And that it was supposedly an attack on Vladimir Putin. The problem with that is that Putin wasn't even there, number one. And number two, why would it blow up in the air? You know, why would it blow up in the air? Why would it not, you know, if it was a assassination drone, why would it explode in midair? Why would that, I mean, did they shoot it down or what? Zelensky said that they didn't do it. But this is what concerns me, okay? The Kremlin promised unspecified retaliation for what it called a terrorist attack. Okay? And they are blaming us. A Putin spokesman today accused the United States of involvement. And and they're saying that what they're doing, they're trying to destroy Russia. This is what Putin is saying. The United States is trying to destroy Russia through a war, you know, through Ukraine, not fighting directly, but indirectly, trying to destroy Russia. And this is what was said. The Kremlin spokesperson said that the Kremlin was well aware that the decision on such actions and terrorist attacks is not made in Kiev, but in Washington. And they're saying, and then Kiev does what it's told to do. Now, they did not give us any evidence for what they said. But the United States National Security Council at the White House, the spokesman for it, John Kirby, he said the claim that the United States tried to attack the Kremlin or execute Vladimir Putin was ludicrous. And so Zelensky, he was in the Netherlands, and he said that he was not interested in the Kremlin's opinion. According to this report, U.S. intelligence are still trying to determine who did it. And they're even saying that they're wondering if it was a false flag operation. You know what that means? A false flag operation is when you stage it, when you attack yourself or appear to be attacking yourself. And you say, well, why would they do that? Well, that basically, the, you know, it's the idea behind it is that it would pull support for Putin and his involvement, which is very unpopular among the Russian people. It would pull support from the Russian people against the United States and for the action in the Ukraine if drones exploded over the Kremlin. So that is what's being thrown around. But at this point, I don't think anybody knows, you know. And, you know, they're saying that two different drones penetrating the air defense getting all the way to the Kremlin, and then having such two nice camera views of them being exploding. It says highly unlikely, 2:30 in the morning, that they feel like it is a staged event. So I don't know. I just know this. This thing's a powder keg. But we need to pray on this National Day of Prayer. We pray every day, but we sure need to pray that God will intervene in the affairs of international affairs. And, well, the Pope made the statement. I didn't hear him, but I'm told that the Pope made the statement some time back that we are in World War III. He made that statement. And he talked about it's an economic war, it's a cyber war, but it's a war. And I don't know that I agree with that, but they say he said it. So anyway, I don't speak his language, but they say he said it. So God help us. Yeah. All right. Thank you for being with us. Thank God again for his mercy. Appreciate God's blessing here today. And we appreciate everything the Lord's doing. I had some ladies come up to us at lunch and speak with us. I really appreciated that. And they apologized for coming to the table and speaking to them. I said, no, please don't apologize. That's my thrill. And I showed them pictures of the animals and pictures of my bull, my little bull, the smallest bull in West North Carolina. And he's going to be a daddy. And I showed them pictures of Ferdinand. And, we had a good visit. And so I appreciate that. Don't ever be hesitant to come up. Oh, I love to talk. And so I'm always look forward to seeing folks. And so it lets me know if somebody's out there. It does. It lets me know that there's folks that are out there. So I appreciate the ladies group from Harper's Creek today. I saw them in the Chinese restaurant. And I appreciate them coming over and speaking today. That was a blessing. Thank you. All right. Thank you for being with us. I've got a visit to make tonight, so I've got to run. To God be the glory. I'll see you, Lord willing, on Monday. I'm here at least 3 days next week, possibly four. I know I'm gone Friday, and then I'm out the following week for International Student Convention being held at Ridgecrest. Yeah, first time ever in North Carolina, Ridgecrest. And so, we normally travel all over the United States for that. But we're the kind of the host for it this year here in the mountains. So we're looking forward to that. So, all right. Thank you so much for being with us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Lord, would you help us now to be found faithful? Lord, we want to serve you with our whole heart. And Lord, we pray that you'd take away the things of this world. As the songwriter said, Lord, may the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace. Father, save the soul that's nearest hell. Reclaim the backslider. And Lord, work in our hearts to prepare for your coming. And we'll thank you for all that you do in Christ's name. Amen and amen. I'm Pastor Randy Barton. Two with me again, whether on the air or in the air, may God richly bless you, is our prayer.